Stupid thing.
I'm just having fun.
Seeing ghosts.
The Forgotten Camp.
We're on to Cincinnati. It's nothing about the past, nothing about the future. It's right now we're preparing for Cincinnati.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast, and not just another edition. Episode 300. Woo! Wow!
Congratulations,
man. Who would have imagined?
Not me.
That I would actually make it 300 episodes deep.
I'm losing a lot of money by you posting this 300th episode. I bet against you a long time ago.
Yeah, I know. I know, Jaunders. Jaunders has been just about the least supportive person in my life, honestly. That's why I wanted him on this episode to rub
really
it,
rub it in my nose.
His smug face. Does Forward Past Thinking Audio even have 300 episodes?
No, we barely have more than 200.
I didn't think so. But yeah, this is, I mean, it's just a 300th episode. I mean, there are still only like 25 to 50 people at most will listen to this show. And we will continue to roll along with our lives. But I mean, here
listen,
we are.
If you want quantity, go to the End Zone podcast. You want quality. That's when you go to Forward Past Thinking Audio.
There's the dig. The dig is in there. And also joining me today is Trey Watkins, all the way from mighty Rocky Top. How is Tennessee this time of year, Trey?
It's hot.
There's the news from Trey. It is hot, bringing that patented Trey Watkins southern drawl and heat wave tiredness within that voice. That is a man who is, you know, been beaten down by the heat of Nashville, Tennessee. So, Trey, you, a man who on this podcast a few weeks ago said, please never move to Nashville. It is terrible. Thoughts and prayers to you, because it sounds like it is very terrible today.
Well, at least it's raining a little bit, so I guess that's fine. I can take a nap, I guess, but other than that, it's horrible. It's horrible.
It is solid. Well, 300 episodes, man, it's been a while. I served this podcast back. I was looking at it. I believe it was 2017 fall that we started up. We've done 3 full seasons. This will be our 4th coming up. And we have completed all our division previews. Trey was on for the AFC South and AFC East. Thank you very much, Trey. Jaunders was on for the NFC West. I'm going to make a thread of those on the Twitter page later today. So check those out. They're a ton of fun. But now here we are, gentlemen. So it's time to ask a tough question before we get to the fun. Today's a power ranking show, so those are always fun. We'll just talk about kind of our thoughts on teams for the offseason. I want to hold off on doing our big, you know, playoff overall preview until we get much, 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 much closer to football. So we are going to take a little bit of time off, or maybe go just to one show a week for a few weeks, and then hop back about the week of the 17th and see where we are in the world. But how are we, gentlemen, how are we feeling about football actually happening at this point?
If you're asking me, I would say that it's been kind of up and down, but right now I think we'll definitely get games going, but I don't know about finishing the season. So I think I'm a little bit above 33% that we play games and it goes throughout the Super Bowl without being stopped.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems likely. Trey, your thoughts. By the way, that pause is, I mean, 300 episodes deep and still. And, I mean, Jonders has by far been the guest that has been on this podcast the most. And this is a direct shot at Jonders. I mean, when I stop talking, somebody else needs to start talking. I'm trying
Eric,
to get
– no, I didn't want – Eric, you have to say, hey, no, Jonders, hey, Trey.
No, but Jonders, you've been on so many times. We've developed a repertoire.
I don't want to talk
a rapport.
Over – that he wants to say, you gotta tell the guests who you want to talk.
That is on me, I suppose. But I am trying to get better at that, where I can just silently cue somebody so it sounds more natural. But Trey, how do you feel?
I think I'm about the same as Jonders. We'll get games going, but since the whole NFL isn't in a little bubble environment like the NBA and the National Hockey League, there's bound to be some sort of, I wouldn't say outbreak, but there's bound to be some sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? I'll just say some sort of
– All right. Trey cut out there for a second. We will see if we can get him back there. This episode 300. Oh, here he is. He's back. Maybe this episode 300 is going swimmingly. You cut out for a second there, Trey.
Oh, I did.
What were you saying?
Oh, I said I'm staying on the same boat as Jonders. I'm confident that we'll get games going, but I'm not so confident that we'll be able to get the season going. There might be a situation where a good number of cases start popping up along the way, and we might have to put the season on pause. So I'm more with Jonders. We'll get games going, but we'll somehow have to put it on pause and see where everything is if that does come to fruition.
Absolutely. Well, yes.
Hey, Eric, I have a question for you.
Yes. Okay?
So the NFL is doing their top 100 list tonight, and Trey has a player. And I have a player still announced today in the top 10, but are there any Broncos going to be announced in the top 10 tonight?
Yes, are they?
I don't know. I kind of stopped paying attention to that NFL 100 list years ago.
Does they ever list any Broncos in the top 10?
No, but I just don't think they, like, I don't know. I don't think players can properly evaluate other players. Like, these guys, like, some of these guys, it's unbelievable in their interviews. Like, reporters ask them, you know, do you like football? Do you watch football in your off time? And they're like, no, outside of tape, I don't really watch football. Like, that's unbelievable to me. Like, if I were an NFL player, I would definitely dial up Game Pass and watch as much football as I can in my free time. I know that's limited, and I'm obviously not a professional football player, but I think it's wild more football players don't, like, watch other teams and follow other football. So for that reason, I don't think they're – I think, Jonders, you and I are much more equipped to make a top 100 list than
– Then why don't we do it?
NFL
I don't know.
Players.
Either way, the top 10 that's going to be revealed tonight is, in no order, Russell Wilson, DeAndre Hopkins, Aaron Donald, Henry, Mahomes, Christian McCaffrey. Look, these are all players that, like, who are these guys? You know, like, 10 years ago. I mean, the NFL is completely different now. Lamar Jackson's in there, George Kittle. This is a completely – Michael Thomas. This is a completely different NFL.
That's weird to think about, honestly. That's crazy to think about, really. That's crazy.
It's a whole new NFL.
10 years ago, everybody was in love with Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, all those other guys. That's crazy to think about, honestly.
Yeah, there's no Tom, there's no Aaron, there's no Drew Brees in this top 10.
That's weird.
So old, all of us.
Yeah.
Man, I remember when I came in. What was that? I mean, Patrick Mahomes wasn't even in the league when this podcast started. Well, that's not true. I think he got drafted the year this podcast started. So we're like, because
he was drafted at 18, right?
What?
No, I guess he was drafted 17.
Because he's out a year behind. He's going into year four. So yeah. We're going into year four. So we are aligned with Patrick Mahomes as a podcast, which is great because I love Patrick Mahomes.
Stephon Gilmore, the only defensive player on this list. I didn't mention him.
I feel like if Russell Wilson isn't rated 2 or 1, Jonders is going to be very upset.
Well, no matter what, he's going to have his highest ranking ever because before this, his highest ranking on this list was 11.
Which is wild. Like, yeah. That is absolutely wild. And again, why NFL players can't evaluate other NFL players.
Look, so, if we're being real, I seriously think NFL players don't give the time of day. I don't even think 3/4 of the players that they ask to vote on these lists actually care enough to vote.
Well, they also pump up their teammates too, which exactly. I mean, it's understandable, but it's also like, I don't know. There's too much of like teammate pumping up.
Yeah, it's a worthless list.
Or maybe somebody went to Ohio State. They're gonna bump up somebody else from Ohio State. Like they're gonna bump Zeke up higher than somebody else.
Yeah, that's a possibility as well. I'm just saying,
if you're a player and it's like a Wednesday or Thursday practice, and you're like you're just chilling after practice or before practice, and somebody from NFL film comes like, hey, why don't you vote? Come in this room. We'll interview you. You'll vote for the. Like 20 players, do that. That sounds boring. I wouldn't do that at all.
I mean, the players do get upset about the ranking, though. I mean, Von Miller said he's not going to say nothing. He's just going to ball out in the field this year. He said something along those lines.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, offensive because it's from their freaking peers, man. That's offensive, dude.
Yeah, I mean, Von Miller, I mean, he was probably properly ranked. He was good last year, but he didn't put up the numbers that Von Miller typically puts up. I believe it was his first under 10 sack season in like 3 years.
Well, if that's really the case, then like Jarrell Casey shouldn't be as highly ranked as he was then, because I've been watching the whole NFL 100 stuff because I've been bored with nothing to do from 7 to 10 at night, and most of the time the whole thing they were talking about how Jarrell Casey's impact last year wasn't in the numbers, but it was mostly, you know, look at the tape and that's where the impact was, which is true for Casey. But if you're going to talk about that, then I guess you should hold it to the same standard as everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Von Miller the past 5 years, this past 6 years, five of those years he's had 10-plus sacks. Last year he had, like, just about 4 beneath his career year, which was in 2012, which it's crazy that Von Miller got 18 sacks in 2012. I kind of didn't realize that. That was his, I believe, like his only his second year in the league. He has not gotten that close to that number since 2018. And then last year, for the first time in about 5 years, he only had 8 sacks instead of 10 or above. So, I mean, I think it's fair where they ranked him. I would put Justin Simmons near that top 10. I think that he is that valuable as a safety. But, I mean, you could make the argument that Courtland Sutton is borderline top 10, but Courtland Sutton still has to compete against, like, all the receivers in the NFC that are, like, so stacked. Courtland Sutton's the best wide receiver in the AFC. I've said that this offseason. But he's still not better than Julio or Mike Evans or Michael Thomas or DeAndre Hopkins. Those are all guys that are above him, and then I would probably put him at 5 or 6 as far as ranking wide receivers went. So it'll be interesting to see. I bet that more Broncos make the top 10 within the next 2 or 3 years, especially Courtland Sutton. I think he could be kind of that guy. I think by the time his career is over, Courtland Sutton might be in the conversation for the best wide receiver in the NFL. I don't think that's crazy to say. So,
I wish this was a video show so people could look at my reactions as you say ridiculous things.
That I don't think that's that ridiculous, bro.
It's like, not too crazy, but
look at the numbers he put up with Joe Flacco and Brandon Allen. Like, he put up wild numbers throughout the year. He was basically a first-team All-Pro behind Michael Thomas last year.
Okay.
No, he was. Look at his stats on a week-to-week basis.
Okay, was it? Are you saying it based off a week to week basis? Are you saying it like in spurts? Because I thought it was more in like spurts.
No, definitely wasn't like in spurts. Like he was great last year. He put up like huge numbers. But I mean, that's not really the point of today. But just to back myself up here, he put up 1,012 yards last year. And 1,112 yards last year and 6 touchdowns. And I mean, Michael Thomas had 9 touchdowns. He was only like 3 touchdowns behind Michael Thomas. So I feel like there is a legit case to be made that he was a first team all pro type guy. I think so. I mean, if you look at his game logs as well, like, yardage-wise, the lowest yardage he had was against the Bears in week 2 at 40 yards, and you look at his season, and most of the time he's over 70 yards a game. Well, he had 41 yards against Detroit, so there are two outliers, but he was still very effective. I don't know, Jaunders. I would say just keep an eye on him.
Michael Thomas?
What?
Don't you think he's getting different coverage and different looks than Michael Thomas?
No, he got double teamed pretty consistently last year.
All right.
Sure. So, I mean, I'm not saying he's better than Michael Thomas or Julio Jones or Mike Evans or DeAndre Hopkins, but I think the tier below that.
He's not a first team all pro. Then he's a Pro Bowler.
Right. Okay. Well, I suppose that's more accurate. But I mean, he did make the second all pro team last year. So, there's the AP thought he was that good. So, who knows? Anyways, let's get to power rankings. So, we've talked about all these teams all offseason. We've had our takes. Now it's time to put our money where our mouths are and talk about these. So, here's the way we're going to do this. I have developed 2 questions of my own, 2 baseline questions that we're each going to answer really quick. Then we can discuss those. And then I have one more question that I'll lob about either one of your lists, but we'll go Jaunders, then Trey after my 2 questions. And then Trey will do kind of a snake draft. You'll ask your second question, then Jaunders will ask his. And that'll be the show. And hopefully we'll get out of here under an hour. So let's get to it. So I feel like the best way to attack power rankings sometimes are to first start off with our processes. And I'm always with lists for quarterback shows. You guys know this for shows like this. I never give like instructions because I think it's wildly entertaining to just hear other people's processes. So I'll start with you, Jaunders. What was your process here? Did you have a formula? Did you just go kind of off gut feeling and what you've seen on tape and how rosters look? I guess I'll provide mine first. I went with kind of, okay, are you a Super Bowl team? And I gave teams grades from 1 to 5. 1 means there's no way I could see you getting into the Super Bowl. 2 means there's a slight chance, but a ton would have to go your way. 3 are teams kind of in the middle where if things go their way, if they have truly tremendous seasons, they could get there. 4 is you are probably going to get there, but a few things have to go your way. And 5 are with your current roster, if you stay healthy, you should be a Super Bowl team. And that's kind of how I rank mine. So Jaunders, what was your process kind of like?
My process was just, I did kind of like a 1 through 10-ish of just kind of the teams I thought were at the very top of the league. And then, it also, my process leans heavy on the quarterback position. Cause I think we underrate the quarterback position somehow this time of year. And then by the time September rolls around, we're back into agreement of that, how important it is. So I basically just went gut feeling off the top and like based on rosters and how they did last year.
Okay. Trey.
I sort of had that same sort of thought process. I didn't really go with teams. I just went the basic 1 through 32 and I just ranked those teams based off past performance, potential future performances down the line, and just overall feeling. I guess that's sort of the rough draft or outline of things that I did. It's pretty basic in nature.
Okay. So I think the best way to start here is for each of us to go through our top five and then our bottom five. So we'll start with the bottom five, actually. So that would be 28 through 32. So I'll start here. I have Giants at 28. I have the Dolphins at 29. I have the Jaguars at 30. I have the Washington football team at 31. And I have the New York Jets at 32. Does that look similar to yours, Trey?
Well, I wasn't as low on the Jets as you were. You had them at 32, and I slotted them in at around 25. But really with mine going on through that whole, I guess you could say that 25 through 32 range, it's sort of like hit and miss because the teams I have in my 25 through 32 range are all either bad or need a lot of work moving forward. So I wasn't as low on the Jets as you were. At 28, I had Detroit. Don't like their defense. Love Matt Stafford, though. At 29, at Carolina, Matt Rule's fine, I guess, but he's going to need some work to implement his style of football that he wants going forward in Carolina. At 30, I had the New York Giants. Daniel Jones, I'm not convinced on him. Their rookie wide receiver last year was really good. I keep forgetting his name, but if I hear it, then I'll remember.
Darius Slayton,
there it is. I like him too. Barkley's there, but that defense still needs a lot of work. At 31, I guess you could sort of flip-flop between 31 and 32 between Jacksonville and Washington. Both their rosters aren't that good. Well, actually, in theory, the Jaguars do have some promising young potential on the defensive side of the ball. And DJ Chark is over there on offense too. So I guess I could slide him in at 31. Washington is mine at 32 on my list. Don't like the Washington football team. Almost caught me saying the old team name, but I don't like the Washington football team. Their roster is horrible, needs a lot of work. But yeah, that's where I had with my whole 28 through 32 around there.
Jaundice.
Yeah, I had the Giants just outside of my bottom five. I had them at 27, but in my bottom 20 or my bottom five, I have the Panthers, the Bears, Washington, Jaguars, and Jets. So starting off with the Panthers, I don't understand why they were. I don't understand the rebuild at all. Ron Rivera is one of my favorite coaches in the NFL. I think Cam still is plenty of the tank. I don't know why you're wasting the prime years of run CMC. You know, it's not – I mean, for running backs, it doesn't last that long. So why aren't we trying to get the most out of that while we can? The Bears have two quarterbacks, but they really have no quarterbacks. I'm not a fan of Nick Foles in the regular season. Mitch Trubisky is a dumpster fire, and the legend of Patrick Mahomes grows every day, and Mitch Trubisky's in the shadows of that. Washington doesn't even have a team name, so I don't take them seriously. The Jaguars, I don't know. They're just the Jaguars. I was looking at my list today and kind of thinking like, oh, yeah, it was weird like 3 years ago. James White, if he was tackled, that maybe they were in the Super Bowl 3 years ago. But, you know, that's not how it is, and that's how the NFL is a lot. And then, honestly, I forgot that the Jets were a thing. They traded away their best player. It seems like everything's in disarray. I don't think Adam Gase and also ownership. I mean, I don't, you know, we're going to stay away from politics here, I think, but the ownership is in all kinds of trouble from the head down. It's all got to go. So Darnold is, I think I have a lower opinion of Darnold than most people. And this year is going to be just a waste. I don't know how many games there will be this year, but anything that happens with Sam Darnold is bad because you're going to need a new coach to develop him next year, maybe new ownership. The whole Jets organization is just a complete dumpster. I mean, I've already said dumpster fires. What's another thing? It's a dump. It's just a dump.
Tire fire.
Yeah, sure, whatever. I don't know.
I like tire fire more. I would say the one big disagreement I have with you, John, is the Panthers.
Okay.
I have them much higher. I think they're – I have them as kind of a tier three team. Okay, interject real quick,
Eric. How much does the division they play in weigh in? Because that's one where it's like I just –
That's true.
They're just so far behind the three other teams in their division where it's like I – you know, it doesn't really matter. Where
I don't think that's true at all. I think they're only far behind the Bucks and the Saints.
I would take the Atlanta to sweep them this year. I don't know. I mean, they have the quarterback, and at least Dan Quinn's been there for a while. I would much rather take the Falcons this year than the Panthers.
Okay, I'll use my one question here. Well, where do you have the Atlanta Falcons? Because I am not high on them at all. Austin Hooper helped move that offense last year, and they lost him. Calvin Ridley took a noticeable step back in year two, I think. He was just a guy that kind of – he made like one or two plays a game, but just was not the number two that you need. Julio Jones is really the only attacking weapon. They're betting on Todd Gurley to be their starting running back. The defense is soft and fraudulent. I have them as a two, and I have them 25th on my list, and I only have the Bengals in the – I have the Bengals below them and the Browns above them. Where did you have the Falcons? Because I do not really believe in them at all.
I had the Falcons at 17 because I kind of think they're pretty average in the NFL, maybe below average, but I just have them pretty close to the middle. And I was looking up their future odds, and New Orleans is the heavy favorite in the South. And then – it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers plus 500, the Falcons plus 300, and then the Carolina Panthers plus 1,100. So, yeah, I mean, Vegas is saying the Panthers are not doing it this year.
Well, I would disagree with Vegas. I mean, you look at that wide receiving core, and, I mean, I think it's pretty stacked. Like, DJ Moore, there's an argument that he was about – 150 yards away from a Pro Bowl last year. Curtis Samuel, when he had Cam Newton, was amazing for them in 2018. And in a new offensive-minded scheme, I think he might be that again. Robbie Anderson provides a deep threat. I get that Teddy's a question mark. They still have Christian McCaffrey. But I kind of buy into the Greg Rosenthal hype. And I do think Teddy Bridgewater is going to be good this year. I don't think he's going to be top 10, but I think he's going to move this offense. And they're potentially – they're going to start slow. I would agree with that. But I would not be shocked at all if they're one of these second-half teams, kind of like the Titans, that somehow sneaks around the playoff spot with like 8 to 9 wins.
I'm just trying to do the math in my head. The other three quarterbacks in that division have 7 Super Bowl wins, 5 MVPs, and yeah.
Right. I mean, that's a fair point. Their secondary is very bad in Carolina. So yeah. Trey.
The line stinks.
Right. Yes. The offensive – oh, I would disagree.
I think it leaned on the door of average, I guess I would say. To below average, maybe.
If their offensive line's average and the strength of the team is a running back, that's not a great spot to be in.
Right? Well, but who knows what this Matt Rhule offense is going to be either. I don't think it's going to be what it was last year. I think they're going to throw the ball a lot more than they did last year. And I think they're going to run out of the spread a ton more, which according to football analytics nerd Warren Sharp is the most effective way to currently run the football in the NFL. So I feel like Christian McCaffrey might have a huge year.
I mean, yeah, I could also be wrong. You know, what do I know?
Yeah, who knows? But that's great. That's what we love about power rankings, to bring up disagreements like this. Let's move on. Top five, Trey.
Well, for my top five, I guess I sort of flip-flop between a couple teams. But I eventually just settled on my 1-2-3s were the talk of the league last year. Number one is Kansas City. Number two, 49ers are there. Number three are the Ravens. And below those two, I guess I sort of flip-flop in order if that really means anything. I had the Saints at four, and I had the Seahawks at five. I don't have really any sort of concerns about, I guess you could say, those one through three. But I have some, like, I guess some sort of lingering concerns about the Saints and Seahawks. Drew Brees, his arm is running out of gas. It's not how you can still run the offense. You can still make some of those easy throws. But his arm's running out of gas, and he's running out of gas fast. So we'll see if his arm can hold up this year. And the Seahawks, I love Russell Wilson. Eric knows I love Russell Wilson. I'm just concerned on what or how much the Seahawks might limit Russell Wilson from playing like the Russell Wilson that we've grown accustomed and loved to watching. Eric knows this also. Come on this show plenty of times to discuss my disappointment with Brian Schottenheimer. Somehow he gets his results year after year, and he stays on staff, and Pete Carroll loves him because he loves to run the football and shoving down people's throats. But I'm not a big fan of Brian Schottenheimer, so that's really my only concerns for the teams in my top five. But really, the Seahawks have a lot more concerns than the Saints.
I have one of my two questions, Trey. Can you look at yourself in the mirror and say that Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback of a number two team in the NFL?
Yeah, that one's wild to me. That one is the one that's a little bit wild to me.
See, and that's what I said. My stuff is a little basic in nature. Kyle Shanahan, he can scheme his way around with what Jimmy Garoppolo and his, I guess you could say, deficiencies.
He has to hit Emmanuel Sanders late in that Super Bowl, man. I mean, it's just as black and white as that.
I'm not the biggest fan of Jimmy G either, but that running game still has Mostert. That running game still has Coleman. They upgraded their wide receiver core. They got freaking Trent Williams for pennies. And that defense, even though they lost DeForest Buckner, they got Javon Kinlaw, who I'm a really big fan of. So I'm not really – I guess Jimmy could – yes, Jimmy G is one of those concerns that you have with the 49ers, but I'm still a big believer in that defense and that offense as a whole. Aside from Jimmy G, really. So
I don't have any like science to back this up, but I think that the 49ers of 2020 are going to have a very Rams of 2019 season, where it's kind of they come off the Super Bowl hangover and they're not the team that everybody thought they'd be.
I could see that on the defensive side, but I do kind of agree with Trey. Like, here's the problem with the Rams was they lost their best offensive player in Todd Gurley, who was just not.
He was never their best offensive player. The problem with them last year is their offensive line.
Yeah.
Right, but we agree the running game was what made that Rams offense tick before, and yeah, I mean, yeah, that bears it out. But I mean, the 49ers added Trent Williams to their offensive line. Their offensive line is still going to be great. The running game still coached by Kyle Shanahan. Raheem Mostert's still there, and he's probably going to be running to get a bigger contract. And I do think that I have the Niners at, I believe, eight, right above New England. I do think that the Niners are going to be good. So that's a good one, Trey. I have my top five. I have the Saints at one. I just think they're the deepest roster in the NFL at every position. You're right, Trey. Drew Brees' arm is not as great as it used to be, but that is not what Drew Brees has been asked to do the last 2 years. He is a point guard now. All he does is throws these great 10 to 15-yard slant routes and lets his wide receivers rack up yak, and there's nobody better at racking up yak than Michael Thomas and probably second best, Emmanuel Sanders.
Eric, can you say racking up yak five times fast?
Racking up yak, racking up yak, racking up yak, racking up yak, racking up yak.
All right.
I love it. It just sounded good coming off the tongue. You ruined it.
I'm sorry to derail you. Let's keep going.
Ruined it. to the Chiefs. I think the secondary is a problem. The cornerbacks specifically, safeties are fine, but the cornerbacks are ranked, I believe, 52nd and 90th by PFF. I have Baltimore at 3, and those were my only tier one teams, were New Orleans, Kansas City, and Baltimore. I had Seattle right at the top of tier two, but I agree with Trey that the coaching is the one thing they have to overcome. But if the coaching steps into the normal modern world and they throw the ball, like, they're definitely a tier one team, and they're probably a better offense than – no, I still don't think they're a better offense than Baltimore. So I think 4 is properly ranked. Q, Jonders praising Russell Wilson.
Do you want me to do my top 5?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, here's my top 5. The Super Bowl champs, until you dethrone them, they're number one. Or, I don't know, unless it's week 3 or something, they really suck, which I don't think is going to happen, because I think Patrick Mahomes is, like, maybe the greatest like, people used to say this about Aaron Rodgers, but I think Patrick Mahomes is 10 times the talent of Aaron Rodgers. I think he might be the most physically gifted football man we've ever seen. So, blah, blah, blah. Andy Reid is amazing. He's incredibly smart, blah, blah, blah. Number 2, the Seahawks. All right, I have them at number 2, and I know what you're saying. Hey, Jonders is not wearing his throwback Mariners hat. He's got a 12 flag up in the background. You know, blah, blah, blah. But here's the thing. This is the Brian Schottenheimer redemption tour. They're going to turn it out on first and second down and third down. God. They're not going to run the ball ever. It's going to be Russell Wilson. It's going to be DK Metcalf. It's going to be Tyler Lockett. It's going to be Greg Olsen. It's going to be Chris Carson running wheels on the backfield. Yeah, who did I say? Jamal Adams is going to be rushing the pass. You say we don't have a pass rush? We got Jamal Adams. He's going to be rushing. I sound like Charlie Casserly. And then, Bobby Wagner. It's a top 13 player in the league, according to the NFL players. So, for those reasons. Also, there's this thing that – so once we get to the postseason, the Seahawks as an organization, Russell Wilson, they have some of the most experienced players in the postseason, and that's going to help them greatly. And also, we haven't talked about kind of the elephant in the room here, the COVID elephant in the room. And I gone to my head earlier this week, I would have said Bill Belichick could probably be the best at handling it. Well, 5 of his players have dropped out or more at this point. I think Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson have the right, like, brain trust to get the most out of their players during this, like, uncertain times. So that's why they have them at number 2.
Speaking of, let's hit some breaking news really quick. Jonders, give me a breaking news sound effect. All right, now fade it down and let me talk over it. So Damian Williams has opted out of the 2020 season. So that's kind of big for the Chiefs. I mean,
they drafted a guy in the first round last year.
I know, but he's still slotted in to be their number one running back, according to Chiefs people, and that's a lot to ask of a rookie running back with no preseason. So
I think they'll figure it out.
They will, but
they're not moving off of number one on my list.
They will, but that's semi big opt out, and my list did change because of the opt outs. Trey,
oh for sure,
your one question.
If I really had one question,
well, first of two, so be thinking about a second one as well.
Okay, I will. Your top 5.
You can talk about anything, by the way. It doesn't matter.
I didn't get to finish my top 5.
Oh, sorry, Jonders.
That's all I was like. I thought we were just talking about top 5 for a second.
Four. No, three. I did my top 2. I know I went on the Seahawks for 5 minutes. I got to do the top 2. The Ravens. I just think John Harbaugh is a top 5 NFL coach right now. I love the pieces they've added on defense. Calais Campbell and Earl Thomas are always at the ball. And I love that they're both on the same team now. Bowser's another year earlier. We get to see what this what's the name of that linebacker? King. I like when a player's name is King. What kind of confidence must you have with your name King? So after that, and Lamar Jackson, the MVP. I mean, come on. And then after that, I have the Saints for a lot of the reasons why Eric's. I'm not going to go on those for much longer. And number 5, I have the 49ers. But I don't like – I might switch them with the Titans. Can I do that on Eric? I switch the Titans in at 5?
Wow, that's high for the Titans. That's I think we all have different 5s. What was your 5 again, Trey?
5, I had Seattle.
Yeah, I have the Cowboys at 5, actually.
Really? Cowboys are kind of a way lower on my list. I have them at 13.
Yeah. Mm. I have them at 10.
Yeah, but kind of in that, like, 8 to 14 range is kind of all you know, just kind of all the good, not great teams. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, Trey, now to you, your question.
I'm going to need you to repeat your top five for me, Eric, one more time.
All right. Well, it could be about anything, but my top five are New Orleans, Kansas City, Baltimore, Seattle, Dallas.
Okay, yeah, Dallas are five. Dallas are five. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. Dallas are five. I think I told you this before, that I really believe Dallas' roster on both sides of the ball can contend for being, I guess you could say, top five for each unit throughout the league, offense and defense. But I'm scared about the Cowboys. I love seeing good rosters. I just love looking at rosters, and I see so much talent. It makes me giddy inside, and I can just go to Madden and do whatever the heck I want with them on franchise mode. But the Cowboys have always had, for the past, I guess you could say, 2 years or so, I've had the roster, but they just haven't put it all together. And I believe last year, I guess you could say, or attribute that sort of mindset to last year, but Tyron Smith was out, and while Tyron Smith is out, they were winless, and they put, I guess you could say, someone with less talent over there on left tackle, and they suffered offensively. But are you really that, Eric? Are you really that high on the Cowboys, even with their recent history of failing to meet expectations?
Jondas, you had a thought.
Yeah, well, okay. I love Dak Prescott. The Cowboys don't love Dak Prescott. So if they don't want their quarterback, why should I want their team if they don't want their quarterback?
Well, I disagree with that philosophy. I feel like you should be, if you like Dak Prescott, you should be rooting for Dak Prescott to have an MVP year, because he'll make that much more money.
Hey, I want him to get paid. I want him to have all the success in the world up until he plays the Seahawks hypothetically in the playoffs. But if Jerry Jones and management doesn't like their quarterback, that doesn't exude confidence in the rest of the team.
Right, but that's not how I base my rankings, Jonders. This is purely.
I'm a second level thinker.
Yeah, I know, Jonders. You're very smart. Oh, that one is the least.
I just took a drink of water. I almost had a spit take all over my laptop.
You guys threw me off with all this complimenting Jonders and things. I like Dallas. I just think they're a really talented roster, and Jason Garrett's gone. I mean, Jason Garrett's gone. That's all you have to say. I get that Mike McCarthy, things didn't end well in Green Bay, but he did take them over the hump once, and he did produce some pretty amazing years with a great quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. And I think that Dak Prescott can have that same kind of level of success with him. And I think the defense has a lot that needs to go right. The linebackers really need to improve. But I just believe in the Cowboys. I think they're a great team that people should be looking out for.
Mike McCarthy wasting the prime of Aaron Rodgers isn't a good argument of why he should be wasting the prime of Dak Prescott.
But that was towards the end of his career. At the beginning of his career, he developed Aaron Rodgers.
They went to – so you think that all the talent that Aaron Rodgers had in somewhat of a bum division, he should only have one Super Bowl ring?
Okay, now that's good. That's,
right, but Aaron Rodgers did not have near the talent that Dallas currently has.
That's true.
Whose fault is that?
The GM.
And okay, so Jordy Nelson is underrated. We can go through this all day. Greg Jennings, he was a great talent. Donald Driver.
Right, but I mean, I believe in – I think Amari Cooper's one of the best wideouts in the league. I think Michael Gallup –
you're putting a lot on Speedy Lamb, too.
I think Michael Gallup is eternally underrated. You're right. It's a lot on the rookie, but I feel like this class was touted as being the best wide-receiving class ever, and CeeDee Lamb was at the top of a lot of people's lists, so – I just buy the Cowboys. That would be my answer. My second question and my final question here before we get to round two of final questions. Let's talk about the middle. Let's talk about the gushy middle of the NFL. So to me, it's the top 10 teams, and then everyone else is just kind of in a blender until you get to probably 25, and that's Atlanta. Let's say those teams, 11 through 22, if you had to pick one of your teams from 11 through 22 to talk about, who would it be? We'll start with you, Jonas.
Okay, I'm very excited. I have a hot take. So at 20, I have the Cardinals. And we do this every year. Last year was the Browns. Oh, the Browns are going to go to the playoffs. They're going to win the Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah. It's always the year after we talk about a team, the preseason, give preseason hype. That's when they really take off. So I think this year, everybody's loving the Cardinals, but it, really they won't take off until next year. So that's why I have them at 20.
Yeah, I'm not far off. I think they're probably a little bit overhyped. I learned my lesson with the Browns last year. I have them around like a 7-9-8-8 team. I think they're going to be good, like middle of the road. It would not shock me if they went 9-7.
Tough division, too.
And somehow snuck in. But yes, very tough division. And the defense isn't super great. I have the Cardinals at 18. So yeah, Jonders. I think that's,
they're a really fun, like, 7-9, 8-18, where like every game's gonna be a shootout.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're gonna be super fun. They're gonna be one of my Game Pass teams this year. I am super excited to watch them. Trey, who is your kind of middle of the road team?
The Browns. I don't know. I want to talk about the Browns. We're all familiar with the whole preseason Super Bowl offseason darling talk surrounded the Browns last year. And, you know, as we all know, they fell flat on their face. And then trade rumors from Odell Beckham Jr. came out. And people started calling Baker Mayfield a bust, saying he was not the answer at quarterback. But then we fast forward to, what is it, July 29th of 2020. Kevin Stefanski is at head coach. Nick Chubb. Even though the Browns' offense was, for the most part, a wreck last year, Nick Chubb was still a bright spot on that offense. I'm just real excited about that Kevin Stefanski hire for the development of Baker Mayfield and for the continued success of Nick Chubb. I love Nick Chubb. He was really, really good last year, and I think he added emphasis on the run game in Kevin Stefanski's offense will only make Nick Chubb thrive even more this year. Even Kareem Hunt, who will come in and do his thing. I just really like the Browns. And it's mostly for that Kevin Stefanski hire. If that Kevin Stefanski hire turns out to be complete crap, then my prediction is pretty much screwed, or my love for the Browns is pretty much screwed. But I love the Browns this year for that Kevin Stefanski hire.
Jonders.
Can I tee you up on your middle team, Eric? Because
yeah.
I believe Trey – it's hard because me and Trey don't have numbers on ours. But, Trey, I think you have the Packers at 12. I have them at 11. Mm-hmm. And then, Eric, you have them at 20. So I wonder why we have that big of a gap between ours.
Well, one, who's Aaron Rodgers going to throw the ball to? Because Devin Funchess just opted out, bro. And now
Adams?
You thought that their receiving core was thin before this. Outside of Davante Adams, who do they have?
Alan Lazard, my guy.
Ooh, Lazard.
I mean, he was fine, but he was not great.
At all. Who else? Do they still have Valdez Scantling, man?
He is – oh, my God. Stop it. Stop it with the MVS hype. I was all over the MVS hype last year. I'm done with MVS. He totally let me down. He is not a good football player. Like, no, they don't have anybody in the wide receiving corps.
How dare you besmirch the name of Jake Camarillo?
They are basically, their draft said, we want to try to be a running first team, which, I mean, I guess that worked last year. I mean,
Aaron Jones is good.
Aaron Jones was great, and I guess it worked last year. But I also hate bad defense. I mean, they play way too much zone coverage, and they're just bad at it, flat out bad at it. They need to be using guys like Jair Alexander in press coverage where he excels, and they don't because Patton's a bad coach. And I mean, I just – I don't know.
The Smith brothers. And Adrian Amos.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at that defense last year, they were not consistent. They were so streaky, and I do not think defenses never carry over, and I think they got worse. They lost their middle linebacker in Blake Martinez. They're going to be weak up the middle, I think. I am super down on the Packers. I think it is much more likely the Packers have a losing season than it is that they make a playoff run. I just think that's the case. And I mean, by losing season, do I mean like 4-12? Absolutely not. They're too talented for that. Yeah. But I mean, I think they're probably closer to a 7-9 or 8-8 team than they are a playoff contender.
I forgot where Blake Martinez went, and like seeing him on the New York Giants is like the most perfect fit for such a bland middle linebacker. Like it's just.
But he was great for them last year. He racked up tackles.
I think he was always overhyped.
In the game, if you're a middle linebacker, you can't cover for Jack Squat, dude. And them tackle numbers don't mean anything, dude. I'm dead serious. Them tackle numbers mean nothing, dude.
Well, who do you have winning that division then, Eric? Because I'll tell you this. The Packers are favored to win it, according to Vegas. Then it's Minnesota at plus 140, Chicago at plus 500, and the Detroit Lions at plus 900. I might put a little bit of money on the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, no, they're my pick. I really think that offense is loaded. Like, Kenny Galladay's great. I love Marvin Jones Jr. Danny Amendola's good. I think who's their fourth? They added someone as their fourth. Geronimo Allison. They added him as their fourth.
And
he's a fine fourth. He's not that great as like a main target guy, but if he's your fourth, that's a pretty good fourth. And I mean, they draft a running back. They've got a really nice duo now if Kerryon Johnson gets hurt, which history says he will. They have DeAndre Swift, who should be pretty good. The line's a little bit of an issue, but they're average, and I think that's good enough. And, I mean, if Matthew Stafford had stayed healthy the past 2 years, he would have been an MVP candidate. Like, there's just no other way to put it. Like, his small sample size of games these past 2 years have been some of the best games of Matthew Stafford's entire career. And I just don't think the defense got that much worse. I mean, they traded Darius Slay and they replaced him with a guy that Daniel Jeremiah said would be an all-pro 10 years in a row in Jeffrey Okuda. Like,
I'm gonna have to move the Lions up my list.
I don't get the Lions hate. I have them kind of – where do I have them? I have them at 17. I really don't get the Lions hate. I think they could pretty easily win that division. I think it's a weak division. I'm not that high on the Vikings without Stephon Diggs, and I'm certainly not that high on the Bears. I do think the Lions are a team to kind of watch out for. All right.
The thing is, that defense, you said that defense did get much worse. It's still bad. That defense is still horrible. That defense is horrible.
Trey Flowers needs to step up. That's the problem. That's the missing piece.
Yeah, look, I think we've learned the lesson of signing former Patriots to big contracts and hoping they pan out. I think what did Trey Flowers get signed to? Was it $90 million,
man? It was dumb. I have no idea, but it was dumb.
Dumb amount of money. And he was hurt. He was hurt in his first year of the Lions, and he was somewhat ineffective. And apart from Flowers and Okuda, those are the only two recognizable names I can see on that defense. The defense is bad. It's horrible, man.
I think we're now officially like it's Matt Patricia's team. Like all the people that didn't want to be there are out, and now he finally has his team. So I think it'll be interesting to follow him this year.
I don't think their defense is great, but I don't think it's as bad as you guys are putting on. I could see them being like a league average defense. Like
I switched out the Lions and the Packers, just by the way. So now I have the Lions at 11 and the Packers at 19. Erica's confused me.
I don't know. I think at this stage in his career, I think there is a legitimate argument to be made that Matthew Stafford is the same / maybe a little bit better than Aaron Rodgers. That's my take. If you watch it, I love Aaron Rodgers, but
put that quote on the tweet when you tweet this episode out.
Yeah.
Eric Jackson says,
yes, I really don't think there's that much of a difference between the two guys right now. All right, let's hit it. Both of you guys, one final question, and then let's get out of here. Johnders.
I thought I did my questions with setting you up for the Packers.
No. You need to choose one more.
Okay, then I will ask. Get back to me then, because I
okay,
I
right.
The Packers one. I thought was my question.
What are you guys' thoughts on? Let's say the Eagles. Let's talk about the Eagles.
Lane Johnson just went out with COVID, or he just got tested positive with COVID, but he still plans on playing this year. So he's out for the next, 2 weeks?
2 weeks, yeah. Mandatory quarantine.
Lane Johnson. Oh, when did that come out?
It was like maybe a half hour before he went live.
Mm. Yeah. Hmm. Interesting. The Eagles are interesting. I mean, Carson Wentz is back. The offensive line is still good, and they added some weapons finally, so Carson Wentz doesn't have to I guess you could say throw to abnormal. I won't say that. That's a horrible word for this. Not abnormal. Wide receivers that aren't good. Let's just say that. Let's just say he won't have to throw to bad wide receivers and get thrown under the bus every single time. The Eagles' offense looks like complete and utter trash. But that defense is still nice, I would imagine. Defense is nice. I don't really see all that many holes on that Eagles roster. Maybe middle linebacker. Maybe edge rusher, maybe. What do you guys think? Edge rusher, middle linebacker? Those are the two needs that they have, don't they?
I think they're good at maybe – no, I think I like their defensive line. I don't like their outside linebackers, though, for sure, and I think they need help at cornerback. But Carson Wentz is a top-five quarterback in the NFL that always gets slept on. I don't know what that is. And the I can't even like think of the Eagles without thinking of the all or nothing that I benched during the offseason and the amount of injuries they had last year. If they just need to get everybody in the same room healthy, which this year is especially will be interesting and difficult. But I think they're the class of the NFC East.
Mm-hmm. I could agree with that if the Dallas Cowboys weren't so hit and miss. All right, they are. I don't agree with that.
I don't know. Somebody – I was on go check out the – I got to figure out the podcast name. But Anthony Miller, really good Twitter follow. Let me pull up this name. The Totally Pigskin Show. I was on that yesterday. Thanks to him for the invite. It was a ton of fun. Go check out that episode. Beyond Pigskin, pardon me, with Anthony Miller. He kind of talked me into the Eagles wide receiving core a little bit, saying that they did – they made the playoffs last year with nobody. I mean, Greg Ward Jr. like worked for them last year. So even with Marquise Goodwin hopping out, maybe we shouldn't be so worried about the Eagles wide receiving core. But I mean, to me, that's where the issue is. Like Carson Wentz still doesn't have a ton of weapons after Marquise Goodwin opted out. And That's really where the concern is. I think the running game's great. I think the defense outside of linebackers is pretty good. I like Philly a lot. I have them at 14, but I don't think they're better than Dallas just because Dallas's roster is far more talented. But it would not shock me at all if Philly made some sort of a deep playoff run because, again, Jonders says quarterbacking matters and Carson Wentz matters, and shout out Ryan McGinley, who is very angry that Carson Wentz didn't make the top 100 list, and as he should be. Carson Wentz should definitely be on the top 100 list because he's a top 10 quarterback. So, I do think the Eagles are an interesting study, but I'm not as high on them just because of the lack of weapons.
I want to keep things in Pennsylvania and head over to Pittsburgh. I love this roster, but I hate their quarterback. I think Ben Roethlisberger is old. It's a hard injury for him to get over. They showed last year that they don't have depth at quarterback. So what are you doing when you have somebody like TJ Watt, who I think can have the same type of career as his brother, Stephon Tuer, Hayward. I mean, they traded midseason for Fitzpatrick. In light of the Jamal Adams trade, the Fitzpatrick trade should be like, I don't know, Colbert should go to jail for stealing Fitzpatrick. How about that?
Yeah.
Bud Dupree's coming to his own as a pass rusher. I like this wide receiver core maybe a little bit more than Eric, I think. But
really, no, I've shifted. I like Deontay Johnson a lot. So
I think running back and quarterback may be their two weakest spots on this roster right now, which is a weird thing for an NFL team.
Yeah, I would agree. I have Pittsburgh at 7. I do think if Ben's like even close to 2018 Ben, who had like 5,000 yards, they are like a lock to make the Super Bowl if he's that guy, because the defense is just that good. And I think the defense is the best in the NFL, and I think they can easily shut down Kansas City and Baltimore. And I think as long as you score more points, you win.
Wait, let me write that down. Four more points, you win. Okay, I got it.
But you're right. I mean, Ben's a question mark. Even before he got hurt last year, he looked terrible.
That 1.5 games he played last year were awful.
So, yeah, who knows? But a lot's riding on that, because if Ben's not healthy, they're probably closer to even. But, I mean, they're still a talented enough roster where if – I mean, probably not talented enough to make the playoffs, but they could sneak around 8-8, 9-7 again.
See, I'm more down the Steelers than I guess a lot of people would imagine. At first, I had them at like 17, but then I moved them up to 14 because I have too much respect for that defense. Big Ben, that guy essentially had, Big Ben essentially had Tommy John surgery.
Yeah,
he essentially had Tommy John surgery for a pitcher. I'm not confident in Big Ben's ability to go out there and get close to that 2018 level, like Eric mentioned. That's Tommy John surgery for a pitcher. He's a quarterback. I don't like that. I'm not confident in Big Ben at all. And I don't like James Conner at all. James Conner is it's kind of average to me, but I'm not real confident in Ben Roethlisberger.
Also, Ben Roethlisberger, a terrible human being.
Yes, terrible.
So there's that. Yeah, I don't know.
Yes, Jonders often likes to bring up that Ben's a terrible human being, which he is.
Seems weird that more people don't bring it up. You know,
yeah.
To me, it seems weird that we all just ignore the fact that Ben Roethlisberger is a degenerate.
Yeah, that's probably true. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much.
We can't end on Ben Roethlisberger being
a degenerate. No. I'm getting mushy.
Okay.
I'm getting mushy. One, for anyone that listens to this show, thank you. I've never met a single person that listens to this show, but the numbers say that people do. So if you listen to this show, thank you. I love you very much. You make this worth it. But also, I've discovered, especially within the past about year and a half, I really could care less about how many people listen. I love doing this show. It's just a ton of fun. I get to sit with my friends. I've made great friends. I mean, I get to sit with my friends, Jonders and Trey and Joro and Dalton and Chris and Tristan. And I mean, the list goes on, and Ryan, that boy Wolf. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And I just get to talk about football for a little bit. And that's just a ton of fun. So thank you very much for listening. Jonders, thank you so much for helping me out through all of this. Jonders is one of the main reasons I got into podcasting. I heard his show and I thought, oh my God.
If that schmuck can do it,
so can I. Trey, obviously, thank you very much for coming on. Trey's become a great friend.
Yay.
He is fantastic, and someday, I mean, he doesn't want to admit it, but my master plan is to get him podcasting, a Titan show that he can get on the air. So we will get to that at some point. We're going to have him on enough times where he catches the bug. So, Trey, thank you very much for joining us. If you guys have any final thoughts, I'll let you share those right now, and then we can head out. We'll start with you, Trey.
I guess my final messages will be to, first off, please leave a 5-star review on this wonderful podcast that Eric has. Leave a nice and lovely, comforting comment, like a hug, like a warm hug from your mother in the winter. Give a nice comment. Give a 5-star review. Follow the show on Twitter, man. It's a good show. Eric is a really nice guy. He knows his football, and I just love being on the show with this guy. Follow the podcast on Twitter. Please just leave a 5-star review. And if you don't want to do that, just leave a nice comment saying the good job that Eric has been doing with this show. 300 shows, man. Me, I would be pretty lazy. I'm lazy, and I would not even get to the point of 100. So we got this really good job by Eric to getting 300. Takes a lot of work, dedication, and passion, like he said, or like he expressed earlier. So do all those things. Eric's a nice guy. He's done a lot of hard work in this show. Do that.
Yeah, I'll just keep it short and sweet. Congratulations, Eric. Keep up the hard work. And be my boss one day. Start an empire and employ me.
Yeah, that's rough. I have a rough time with the monetize this part of the podcasting game.
You'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. I'll
figure it out. I got a long time. I'm a young buck, as I like to say. Thank you very much, both of you, for the kind words. You can follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric18Utah. We have a Patreon now, so if you do want to, like, help me monetize this slightly and help me provide the audio hosting fee, which is like $120. So it's not that much. I can scrounge that money up, but
you're paying, we got to talk off air. You're paying way too much.
But well, I think it's 108 actually. I just always round it up. Patreon, just $5 a month. Even if you wanted to just contribute for like 3 or 4 months and then cancel, like, I wouldn't be mad at you. It's like a quarter of what I need to fund the podcast, and I'm not trying to get rich. I mean, I'm going to try to put out some merchandise at some point if I ever get any Patreon followers, and maybe I'll put out some exclusive episodes, but who knows. That's all a long way in the future, so check that out maybe if you want. But again, thank you so much for both of your kind words, Jonders and Trey. Thank you so much. You can follow Jonders on Twitter at FP
at Jonders FPP,
and Jonders. Trey on Twitter at Trey
at Jonders FPT. You can follow Trey at Jonders FPT.
And Trey, I always forget. I know there's a 099 at the end. It's not Trey John. I always try that, but that's never it.
It's Trey Walkin 099, man. Trey, yeah. Walkin 099. You'll get it one day.
I'll get it one day. Again, thank you very much for listening. We're going to take a vacation. I'm announcing that now. No show next week unless there's massive breaking NFL news. And we'll be back when there's massive breaking NFL news. So enjoy the week. Enjoy this podcast. Thank you all very much for listening. And we will see you for episode 301.
Follow the show.
What? I'm very confused at what just happened.
Leave a 5-star review. Leave a comment. Follow the show on Twitter. Follow the show on Twitter, please.
All right. And Jonders has left. So I've made Jonders go away. We will see you all later. Peace out. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.